I first found out about you when I was on the web and I saw the video of you doing some looping and stuff like that. So how did that come about? Was that your idea to kind of market yourself that way?
No, man, that's really funny because that's like a lot of, I've seen to meet a lot of people who are kind of like, the video's incredible, but like, basically what happened is that I went to go do a photo shoot because a friend of mine owed me a favor. I didn't overpay him, but he thought I paid him too much for a photo shoot. He's like, man, if you ever need me to hook you up, just come on down to the studio and we'll do, like, a really good idea. Mm-hmm. So I went down there and he had set up like a 25-foot ladder. And we just went to do a photo shoot. At the last minute, I asked my friend Randy to come, Randy Kramer, just to videotape the whole thing. Uh-huh. Not even necessarily a song, just to videotape the process of me setting up and doing a photo shoot.
Yeah.
Because we were working on this DVD for like the last 2 years. Uh-huh. And then very end of the photo shoot, he's like, hey, I got an idea. Man. Let's just record you doing the song. And I'll just, you know, I'll shoot it from the same angle as all the photos are. Top of the thing.
Yeah.
This big white sheet of paper. And like, well, how are we going to record it? So he actually had another video camera, so I ran my sound into his other video camera, and he just went up and did a straight shot, mm-hmm. and then he edited it. That was totally his idea to break it up. Like,
yeah, really cool.
Like, lining up each audio loop to each visual loop. You know?
Yeah.
And he had been talking about it for a while. I was like, sure, man, give it a shot.
Yeah.
And then once he had it on there, he, you know, made a DVD of it, and then Anacom put it on their site. We walked it on their site, and yeah, I don't know.
We just kind of spread it around. Yeah.
So it's pretty cool because I mean, if someone's like, "What do you do?" Like, that's a really good place to start.
Right.
You
know, right.
It explains more than I could explain just by using words. It's
right.
Like, this is what I do.
Yeah. And a lot of people might not be familiar with the process of looping, and that really breaks it down visually and makes it, you know, understandable.
Right.
I know you started primarily as just a percussionist, as a drummer.
Yep.
How did you start messing around with loops? Was it something that you wanted to do for recordings, or was
No, actually, it was opposite? First of all, it's kind of a tricky thing to say. I mean, I think the idea of doing two things at the same time was definitely from playing in a band. I mean, I played in my old band, Late Duster, from Minneapolis, and then Fog with Andrew Broder. Like, those bands started in, you know, 1999, 2000. And, oh, in both those bands, I played drums, and they had a keyboard to my left, and I was sort of trying to figure out ways to do both at the same time, and like, how can I get a sound and then play drums? Because I wanted to hear a certain sound. I didn't want to tell someone else what I wanted to play myself.
Right.
And eventually, and then I get an ambient loop going, and then come in on the drums and whatnot, and then trigger the loop. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I started doing a lot more recording. I've been recording since probably 97, just with four tracking and stuff, but I started really recording with the loop pedal in 2000, probably 2000 or 99 maybe, mm-hmm. just pretty much all the time. And I actually never even really got another sampler, like a Dr. Sampler, MPC, and I never got any of that stuff until, but it's just multi-track.
Right.
So, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. And how did you, like, I know, like, looping technology, like, has certain limitations. I mean, I'm not sure, like, how long your loop pattern is.
Yeah, there's other ones. There's, like, the boomerang.
Yeah.
That's got longer. That can go backwards. It can do more stuff. Mm-hmm. The Line 6 has other options. You can, like, make a loop, and then you can slow it down to half speed and stuff. I use an Akai head rush, and it's probably the most limited of all of them because it doesn't, but it, for some reason, I just like the way it sounds better.
Yeah.
When you sort of start stacking the layers, the way it compresses them, the whatever, you know, chips are in there, I just like the way they compress them a little better than the other stuff. But the limitation is, like, the old head rush is 12 seconds, and the new one is 18 seconds, mm-hmm. so
yeah,
that's a lot of difference.
Yeah, that's how you knew to kind of do it, or?
No, not at all. It was just kind of intuitive. I mean, very long process of, you know, it probably took me, I had to do, like, 100 shows before I was able to sort of troubleshoot all the things, because when you mic drums and send them into delay pedals and loops, like, you can get all kinds of feedback.
Right.
I mean, every room is different.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of the struggle, was getting, you know. The other thing too is that when you're looping live drums in a room, like, you're playing a beat on the kit and you press record on the pedal, people in the room are hearing you playing the kit in the room.
Right.
Then when you trigger the loop to come back around, the loop comes back around and the beat is playing, but you're no longer moving air with your drum set. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like the volume drops.
Right.
So actually the best environments to do this kind of thing where you can't tell the difference between the live and looping is like either in like the video in a controlled studio setting, like at a radio station, or on just like super duper big PA like festival type shit.
Right, right.
You know, or like the Knitting Factory, someone's got this really powerful PA, so
right.
Like all the sound you're hearing is really just the amplified sound, not the acoustic sound.
Right. That makes sense.
So, yeah.
As far as writing and things like that, when you're recording, are you thinking about how am I going to perform this live and how is this going to translate, or do you just not even care about that?
No, not really. I mean, it usually works out that, like, sort of finish a record and then after the record is done, sort of then try to figure out which tunes I can actually play.
Right.
It's usually, like, you know, out of 12 tunes, maybe, like, 5 I can sort of pull off.
Right.
Somewhat close to the regular, so
yeah,
there's certainly a bunch of tunes that I couldn't play by myself.
Right. So when you do shows, I know you're kind of out doing some opening stuff and then supporting Andrew. And when you're doing your own shows, do you have a band that you play with? Are you still?
I'm still doing a solo. I mean, I'm working on a new record right now that it's seeming to me that when it comes time for it to come out, I really probably am going to need to have a few other people to pull it off and make it sound the way I want it to. I mean, I could keep doing it the way I'm doing it, but there's something about having that sort of band sound, too. You know?
Yeah. Is it hard to work with loops in the context of playing with other people?
It's really hard. Not necessarily so much if I'm the one making the loop, but Andrew is actually very good at just sort of having a really, really good sense of time, so his loops are almost always just right on the money, but
right.
that's not that easy to do when you're just doing it live.
Right.
Because if you're off a millisecond, not a millisecond, but if you're off like, you know, 5 milliseconds or whatever,
yeah.
You know, every time the loop comes around, the beat's going to have a little hiccup in it.
Right.
And if I'm trying to play drums along to that, I have to sort of make the same hiccup every time.
Right.
So unless someone is really, you know, on their shit, it's mm-hmm. pretty hard to pull it off. But if the basic loop is something that I'm doing, it's a rhythmic thing, and then everybody on stage is hearing that, then it's pretty easy to do it, as long as the first loop is good.
You started just kind of doing your own solo albums, and then you got picked up for distribution by Anticon?
Yeah, I just put out my first record, and Fog, sort of, Andrew was really good friends with Ghost One, and he sort of, Ghost One championed Andrew to Ninja Tune, who clawed that was, you know, they had just put out the Clawdead record, and it was like, you gotta hear this Fog thing, and so they kind of jumped on it and put it out, and it's kind of a big thing. But that's how, so I sort of met those guys, and we went on tour, we did a couple of shows with some of the Marchant kind of people,
mm-hmm.
and I had just finished my first record, and I just, you know, I had 1,000 CDs, so like, they had this tour bus, and I literally gave everybody on the bus a CD.
Yeah.
And then I sent some to Bailey, and I just gave them to everybody, and you know, at some point, they all sort of, they're like, yeah, we should put this out, and then they're like, do you want to put anything else? And then they released it, like, a year later.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Really good.
So now it's available everywhere, and it's not like you're trying to find, yeah.
It's very cool.
And like, your website is Dosh Family, and I know that you recently just got married, and you had a...
Yep, I got married, I inherited a stepson, and we just had a baby, just almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
So yeah, my wife is, you know, she draws all the time, does like marker drawings and mm-hmm. all kinds of different art. So we wanted to have the website sort of be kind of both of us too, and our kids too. You know, just like eventually when they start doing stuff, and put MP3s of their first song on there or whatever, so make it like a fun place that you can go check out and stuff.
Yeah. That's really cool. So what's kind of this next step or the next evolution? You're working on solo stuff. How long is the tour that you're doing with Andrew Bird?
This tour is about, there's a couple days in all told, I think it's about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end, there's a couple days where we have off. We're going to do some more recording, but
yeah.
I think I'm going to be working with Andrew on his next record in Minneapolis, and that's, so far, it's been really fun. We haven't done a couple of tunes, and
yeah,
it's been really great to work with them. I mean, he actually was sort of found out about me through the grapevine, but then it was, I think, the video, too, for him that kind of sealed the deal. That was like, oh, I got to check this guy out. So then I opened for him and then we talked and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's great. That was just totally a chance thing. I wasn't, like, going to make a video and promote myself on the internet.
Yeah. Well, you could always lie and say that you planned that now, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah,
I'm an honest person.
It was a shrewd business decision. Let's see what else I have here. Was there anything else that you wanted to kind of talk about or kind of pimp or anything else?
Well, I didn't pimp it. I'm sort of like, I don't know, like, I've always sort of prided myself, not prided myself, but like part of my shtick and part of my deal is just like, I've never really had very much money, so I've always sort of had to work with like, you know, whatever I had on hand.
Right.
Be it like, you know, save enough money to buy a pedal and then have the pedal. But I recorded all my stuff onto ADAT and sort of didn't really deal with computers and that whole thing.
Right.
But then with my last record that just came out last year, I put out in Dash Family Records, or Dash Family Recordings, Powderhorn. That has me sort of trying to, you know, edit stuff on my computer.
Yeah.
Just not like mixing it, but just editing the stereo files a little bit. And then I just got Pro Tools. I mean, I'm hoping to have this record out in the fall. But it'll hopefully be done pretty soon.
Yeah. So. A couple months of learning your way around Pro Tools, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, I mixed my records with my friend Ben Durant. Mm-hmm. And he had, you know, mixed them on Pro Tools. So, you know, spent quite a bit of time with, you know, watching him do stuff.
Right.
So actually sitting down and doing it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be, but,
yeah,
you know, it's still a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And I work, too. I'm not like, this isn't my fault.
Juggling something.
It's very, very supportive. And it's obviously really hard for everybody when I leave, but
yeah,
it's a really good opportunity to play with Andrew, and it's really fun. And, I mean, you know, what more do you, I mean, I get to do my thing in front of pretty much full house every single night. So like the whole last tour was just sold out the whole way, and you know, people seem to really respond to it. So I'm just, you know, and playing with him is great too, because I like his songs a lot.
Yeah.
We've been experimenting too a little bit with like both doing looping off the same clip tracks, but live looping. So there's like one tune we're gonna do tonight. But you still shot Chicago. So
yeah, so that was like that. Well, that was like the last. One of the last shows of that last leg of the tour, right?
Yeah, that was the last one.
Yeah.
Well, there's two of that same day at the palace. Yeah.
So you and Andrew are both based out of Minneapolis?
Andrew's in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah, and then he's coming up to Minneapolis to record.
Well, I guess one last question, and it's something that we ask everybody, and it has nothing to do with anything else that we've talked about. What?
Something about chicken?
No, actually, it's about dogs. And the question is, in your professional opinion, do dogs have lips?
Seems like it. I mean, maybe definitely lower lips. I don't know about upper lips, but
yeah.
So, I mean, a lip.
Right. Okay. Excellent.